Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that pork's name is now Turbis.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is a special episode with Adam Lance Garcia as we break down episode 9. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
I'm huge to Star Wars fans. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably don't realize how big a deal it was that Palpatine was in the episode 9 teaser.
Huge deal. When he came out on the stage and said, "Roll it again."
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that was awesome. So...
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad's Bowtie Jedi guy.
Well, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
But we are closing it out with something that's going to be awesome. Because Adam Lance Garcia and I have been fighting the fight against the Last Jedi haters together a lot of times since... over about a year now with it. And then we're both involved in something that was voted one of the top 10 worst things on the internet in 2018. Remember the AV Club? Put that out about
yes.
The Ryan Johnson's comment
yeah,
on...
Oh, jeez. That was us. That was us.
We are really excited to have Adam Lance Garcia on here. He walked out of the episode 9 panel and probably went straight into a bunch of production work.
Yes. I was at the episode 9 panel and then immediately got my camera equipment and ran over to the press line where we... my coworkers and I interviewed the cast and director, J.J. Abrams, as well as Kathleen Kennedy for Yahoo Entertainment, which is where I currently work.
That's awesome. So give us your initial reaction. Let's go to the easiest one. Let's go to the title, The Rise of Skywalker.
I got to say, that was I remember talking to a coworker. Maybe about 6 months ago, trying to figure out what the title was. And I could just be making this up that I said, I think it's going to have Skywalker in the title. Or she had said that Skywalker is going to be in the title. Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, that's funny.
I think I'm just saying that.
Right.
I want to believe that I actually guessed the title. But it's really cool to see Skywalker in the title.
Most impressive.
Star Wars for the first time. And it just raises so many more questions. It's who's Skywalker? I've always had this belief that it would be really cool if Rey takes on the name, that she is not a Skywalker, but at the end it's I am a Skywalker.
Like adopt the name.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that way the name lives on, and it becomes she chooses that identity, and I think that's the biggest thing about her arc has always been trying to find her identity, but if it ends with her choosing to take on a name or choosing not to be a person, or choosing to what her path is a lot more interesting than just someone telling her, "Oh, you were these are your parents and this is your whatever."
Right.
So yeah, I think that could be really interesting.
It's kind of like the Solo moment too, where it's just sort of all of a sudden I'm taking on a name, but this one it's going to have the weight of the Skywalker legacy and legend, which they've been talking a lot about that.
And
so
I think I will say there's a lot about this trailer, and the more that I learn about the film, that it does feel like, oh, this has to be the end of episode 9. The end of the Star Wars saga.
Yeah.
There's so much about it that I really love in terms of just the idea of the fantasy element, because we always talk about Star Wars as being a science fiction, but it's a space fantasy.
Oh, right.
You know, it's very much this larger themes and ideas. And now the idea that Palpatine is apparently the main villain of the entire saga really makes it so much more of an interesting narrative for me. That the idea that it is three generations facing this one villain is very much like Lord of the Rings and Sauron and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I also love the idea that you start with one group of characters and end with another group of characters fighting this fight. There's so much about this that I'm just so excited about.
And it also makes it with the Emperor, and which we'll obviously have a lot to talk about. We started with it with your deal, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Emperor being the, like you said, the villain against three generations of Skywalkers now, with it trying to, he turns Anakin, he tries to turn Luke, yeah. and it doesn't work. And now we don't know what that means for this one.
Yeah.
It makes the character of Palpatine being this great Sith Lord so much more weighty going into this movie. So.
And it also, in retrospect, it does, you look at like Battlefront and some stuff in Aftermath,
yeah.
the whole idea of the contingency. If people are like, oh, like, he, there are people on the internet already saying, like, well, don't be like us. This is never the plan. You're just doing fan service. And they're like, well, there's a lot of seeds in there. Like, as I mentioned, the contingency plan, a lot of stuff in Battlefront, Battlefront 2, that, like, oh, it was there. It's there.
Oh, yeah.
It also raises questions of, like, where does Snoke fit in this? I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions that need to be answered.
Oh, of course.
But it does really elevate Palpatine in a way that I didn't really appreciate until like the moment his laughter comes on, you're like, what is this mean?
Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah. Oh man. God. And you guys got to be there and
that must be so unreal. It was a blast. And you know, having gone to Celebration in 2017 and not having gotten into any of the big panels because of the way the queuing things, we actually thought we lucked out. We got all three of the big panels that we wanted. So we're excited about that. So I guess then, if we're still talking about the title and the Rise of Skywalker, one of the things I noticed as we were talking about it, it follows the tradition of the third movie in the trilogies having the rise or the revenge, or it's got an R
revenge, return, rise. That's really, I love that little, that
poetry.
The symmetry. Yeah, the poetry. Yeah. It's like poetry. It rhymes.
Absolutely.
I've heard that somewhere.
Yeah, someone said that. It's also really interesting. Right now I'm reading the Making of Star Wars Trilogies by J.W. Renslor, and I recommend them for especially if you're into filmmaking also as a Star Wars fan, like, you learn so much. I mean, what's interesting, it's colorful language in there. So
sure.
You're hearing the F-bomb dropped by, like, Kirshner or Harrison Ford or Lucas. You're like, oh, okay.
Well, because that's the way they talk. So,
exactly. Yeah. But what's also, you realize how messy it was, how, like, some, like, the I love you, I know scene, that didn't go the way you expected.
Yeah.
You see some of the elements of what became the sequel trilogy in some of his original storylines. It wasn't, like, all sort of mapped out.
Right.
But you can see those echoes in there.
Right. And the same criticisms that are being made about the sequel trilogy and how it may not have been mapped out the way that people think thought could have been said about the original trilogy.
Oh, totally. Oh, my God. You have no idea. Like, the thing is, like, you know, everyone says, like, oh, Darth Vader meant Dark Father. And, like, no, he basically said, like, no, it was Dark Water. You know, it's in there. He said that. He didn't decide that Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader were the same character until the second draft of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, they already had begun preparing that movie before that change happened.
Exactly. So it's... You know, I think what this... I don't know what the point I'm trying to make on this
but
it's more that looking at the way the series is kind of coming together, it's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Know what it's going to be exactly yet, but we know that the plan is definitely in place. And JJ seems to have been... going on record a lot more in the last few weeks about how he feels like they accomplished their goal in a big way.
Yeah. It's interesting seeing how we know that the Death Star, the searching the Death Star originated with TFA. Like, that was when, if you look at the art of The Force Awakens, that's where that idea came from. Like, that was original. And I think that, I'm not sure that it came from Michael Arndt's script, but it was very early on in the process that they were going to go back to Endor and go visit the Death Star and
ruins.
It's ruins.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're returning to that is incredibly fascinating. So, I don't know. I think there's a lot of. Yeah, I think if we look at the arts of Last Jedi and the art of Force Awakens, we're going to see a lot of, like, the clues are there that this was where they were heading.
Mm-hmm.
That's
awesome. So now, let's go, before we, like, break down too much about the trailer and some of the things that you learned in the last couple of hours as you've been interviewing different people, let's just talk about the panel itself and the electricity in the room. What was your thoughts on sort of the reaction initially when JJ and Kathleen came out and sort of the way the crowd responded? I was a little concerned that, you know, with sort of the anti-Kathleen Kennedy crowd.
It was generally positive. I think for both sides of the argument, both if you're pro Last Jedi or anti Last Jedi, There's a lot of trepidation when it comes to this film, because for someone who is pro Last Jedi like myself, I don't want them to go against what they did in Last Jedi.
There's like retcon everything.
Retcon everything. Or you know, I love what they did with Rey, and I love what they did with Kylo. I thought they did a lot of really interesting thematic ideas about there's no black and white. Mm. These things are a little bit more gray. In The Last Jedi, and I was worried that going into J.J.'s Episode 9, that it'd be a little oversimplified. It would lean more heavily on fan service in a way that I think came to the detriment of like a film like Rogue One. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I love Rogue One, is that, let's be honest, why is Darth Vader in that movie?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Strict fan service.
Exactly. And I think if you're even on the anti-Last Jedi side, you know, they're also like, well, is this going to just, you know, be more of what I saw before? So the energy that was in the room was sort of like, I feel like a little trepidatious, like we're, like just like anticipatory, like where are we going with this? Mm-hmm. So that's the sense I got. What do you guys feel?
Yeah, no, I thought it was, I loved, I mean, I thought everybody was going to be really excited about JJ coming out. I thought that the crowd was generally positive towards Kathleen.
Yeah.
I noticed she seemed to speak and sort of give her opinions a lot less in this panel than I remembered her doing in 2017 and the Force Awakens panel as well when we watched that one before. So I think she's sort of, she's kind of ready for this side of the Star Wars Lucasfilm thing to be finished. I just get that sense. What do you guys think about the whole situation with JJ and Kathleen coming out?
No, I was really happy to see the mostly positive fan reaction. I didn't personally notice anything negative just because I was screaming my whole head off anyway. But for the most part, it did feel pretty positive, especially, and I was really worried about that, and not just with JJ and Kathleen, but the whole cast, you know.
Yeah.
I was worried that there was going to be, it wasn't going to be a positive reaction.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised as to where it went.
But yeah, what about you, BB Nate?
I would totally agree. I saw JJ and Kathleen walk on the stage, and I'm like, uh-oh, what's going to happen now? But nothing didn't. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it was good.
I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, like, look, if you're not a fan of The Last Jedi, you're probably not here.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure there are people who are like, I didn't really like The Last Jedi, and I'm still here because I'm a Star Wars fan.
Right.
But if you're, like, if you're what is, like, Sheev 66 or whatever, you're not here.
Right.
You're somewhere else, like, being angry. So, you know, more space for the rest of us.
And it's been a good event from the time we got here, as far as that goes too. So let's talk about, like, you know, it was cool. I guess the Anthony Daniels thing—they gave him his own little moment.
Yes,
I
don't think they gave it to him. I think he just kind of
took it.
He just took it and was just moving around the stage. Really, and they're like, "We've got places to go.
Yeah,
you're okay. You're just."
But that's Anthony Daniels.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's Anthony Daniels. You can't tell him no. Yeah. So,
I think it's gonna be interesting. I'm looking forward to his book because I think it's really cool to have his perspective, like seeing all nine films.
Yeah.
I do wonder, just again, speaking to the books that I've read, like how contentious those films were, and knowing how contentious even The Force Awakens was, but apparently how smooth going, like for all the debate around The Last Jedi, it was a very smooth production, all things considered.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really curious to see like how much he could talk about like that behind the scenes aspects of these films that like got messy. You know, that's going to be fascinating.
That's cool. And, you know, we didn't see anything that seemed to suggest that the C-3PO from that supposed leaked poster is the C-3PO that we're going to get in this movie. We didn't see anything with, like, the bandolier and the Chewie's bowcaster, so.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that actually does happen, because, I mean, there are elements from that poster that are, like, the costumes.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And the mask and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that poster specifically is, like, a Walmart poster.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Walmart. I'll get the Star Wars poster. I'll get that.
Right.
It's not an official poster. I'm looking forward to seeing what the official poster. I'm actually really looking forward to what's going to do with the mural.
And it's still covered up.
I'm surprised. I figured like that would be the first thing they did. Like the moment
I know. Think it's going to be overnight because it's kind of hard to get a ladder up there with all the people.
That's a good point.
I think it's going to be after the Resistance panel, and the reason
we've got a theory behind
a theory, and we've you know expressed it a lot on the podcast. But basically, we were first day we were here. We looked at the panel, and we noticed they have every movie and both and all the animated stuff, save last or
episode nine,
and Resistance.
Yeah. There's nothing Resistance on the panel.
Yeah.
So he has a theory that they're going to bring everything together: Galaxy's Edge, Resistance, Episode 9, all into one. So we think that, because if you look at the voice actors for Resistance, they look almost identical to.
It'd be cool if they did something.
Yeah. So we think that they're going to. There's an element of that in. On the mural,
yeah,
and they're waiting to reveal to
that's fascinating. I mean, right. I do love how, like, unified the canon is. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not always perfect when, it, like, the mistakes get made, but it is really cool. That is possible. I mean, just the fact that we had, like, the ghost in Rogue One still is awesome.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun. So, then the rest of the cast comes out. You've got Daisy, John, everybody but Adam, I think.
He does not do these. I don't think the only one
did. Did he come in 2017?
I don't think so.
I know he did the junket stuff for 2017, but, I mean, he's out in New York doing
Burn This.
Yes, thank you, with Kerry Russell, so that's where he is probably right now, but he does not like doing these. So
oh, okay.
It's just, you know...
His personality.
Yeah, it's also probably in his contract.
Yeah, he works for that, so he doesn't have to come.
Exactly.
I thought it was fun to see Stephen Colbert poke a little fun. I thought he was poking fun at him a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Stephen's like, you know, I work in New York. Why? How could I even be here? I do a show every night.
Because
that was the big thing that was going on social media. He can't come because he's doing a show.
Yeah.
But again, you said he doesn't really come to these things with it. Let's talk. I mean, the Finn stuff was cool. Talking about. I loved when he said, or when I think it was Poe that said, or Oscar Isaac that said about John Boyega that Finn was single and ready to mingle.
That was
kind of cool. But I was really interested to see how they were going to react to Kelly Marie Tran. Everything was going. Talk a little bit about that. Yeah,
that was a really great moment of just seeing just an overwhelming of love to her because it. Look, I don't get it. If you don't like a character is not an actor. Mm-hmm. You know, they're two different things. And the negativity that was thrown at her for just being in a movie was horrendous and just unwarranted.
Mm-hmm.
But then to see so many people, the majority of the people in the room, I mean, there were some. I do have anecdotal evidence that people were negative towards her for being there because screw them. But overall, like, I did feel like. Just this overwhelming amount of love. Just like, hey, we still love you no matter what you've been through.
Yeah.
And that I think that spoke more volume. That spoke volumes about what's the Star Wars fan base is in general, which is positivity and
yeah,
love.
I agree with that.
And for us, it was evidence that for all the just horrendous people that are online saying horrendous things, there are more of us than there are of them.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And then, and just to add to that, you know, while you were doing all your interviews, I know that Kelly was on the Star Wars show stage, and the crowd started chanting Kelly, Kelly, Kelly over and over again, and she was crying on stage and stuff, so it was a really cool moment for that, too. The trailer, we talked a little bit about some elements of it, but give me your opinion on that.
What's great about J.J. Abrams is his mystery box stuff. And this stuff, the footage that we saw and the trailer gets me excited. And in a different way than Last Jedi. Last Jedi was very, because it's the middle chapter, there's a lot of unanswered questions. It gets darker. It gets a little more thematic. This one is a little bit more showboaty, and I say that in a positive way. But specifically to that first opening scene, God, I mean, just seeing Rey there, like the breathing over the Lucasfilm coming into her, and seeing her with her new white sort of Jedi robe, which is an update of her Jakku and her Jedi outfit from Last Jedi, but like has a hood and stuff like that.
Right.
I love that it's white because it evokes both Leia and Luke, and also evokes Ahsoka, even though I'm not sure that was intended.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea of, like, the Jedi being in white compared to Luke being in black at the end of Return of the Jedi. But then having her there, and, like, why is she standing there? And then there's a TIE fighter coming in, and you know that's Kylo, and you know, because there's that one still they showed.
They did show, yeah.
Yeah, they're totally going to have a big sword fight at that point in that desert. And just her coming down, and then her getting in that pose, and then the slow motion jump up and the lightsaber, and you're just like, Well, I'm in. This is exactly what I wanted to see all the time.
It's a great finish to the saga.
It really is. It's funny. One thing that a friend of mine, I don't know if you guys follow him on YouTube, Patrick H. Willems. He's great. He's a video essayist. And
okay.
He did a great big video about like why The Last Jedi is great, and like he does a really great breakdown on that. He's also just a really intelligent film critic. And he pointed out that one thing that he was really excited to see was that each new film sort of does something different with Star Wars, and he mentioned that Last Jedi was the first time they introduced slow motion, and this is the first time, and they're still using it in this movie. So I thought that was really interesting. But man, oh man, like how can you just the way she's standing there, and the whole opening sequence was just exactly what I would want to see from this movie. Like,
yeah, it just pulled you in the moment it moved from the Lucasfilm panel.
I also
just really did.
But speaking of moving, like what's really cool about what I really appreciate about J.J. Abrams' filming style is that he loves moving his camera. And I think that there's like that great like slight push in, hand down on her on like down to the lightsaber. Hey! Oh my God! I
all right, come on! You jump on in your Star Wars explain. Alex Damon is a special surprise guest on the show. So all right, we're gonna get real quick.
All right, okay.
Your thoughts on the panel this morning, and I don't. Did you get in? You didn't get in.
I was on the Galaxy stage.
So the streaming, okay,
right,
and you saw the trailer a bunch of times now. You've already done a video on it, I'm sure.
We did late. We got to go on the Star Wars show stage.
No, that's so cool.
Yeah, we got to do a breakdown live, which was nuts.
That is amazing. So tell us what your initial thoughts were on it.
Oh God, I loved it.
Oh yeah.
That Palpatine laugh at the end. I never ever would have guessed that was going to happen. I wouldn't have been surprised if you were in the movie, but that they put it in the trailer.
Yeah.
And the Death Star stuff. There's so much in there that I
just
never
mind-blowing,
guessed.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about the title?
I love it. I think it has a lot of cool implications. I think that the sequel trilogy is going to be about legacy, the legacy of the Skywalkers. And I think that it might be more than just a family name by the end.
We were saying that, I wouldn't be surprised if Rey takes on the name at the end. The line that I keep on saying is I'm a Skywalker, like Luke before me. That's sort of what I would love.
Just got chills.
All right, guys, celebration's over. I made out.
That's it. Yeah. That's so cool. You know, we were talking about right before you came over here. We were talking about the opening scene in the trailer when you hear the breathing, and then Rey pops up in the white against the desert. And for me, it had completely brought me back to that very first teaser trailer.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah. So explain what's going on
from. When I first saw it, I'm like, that's like Force Awakens trailer.
Yeah.
When you see Finn pop up, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool see that. Who's the Skywalker? Is it a family, like a legacy thing that's going to go on? Is that what you think it is? The Rise of the Skywalker?
Now that you said that, my thought was that maybe she'd make a new order of Force users and they'd be called the Skywalkers or something, but I like that she's like, I'm...
Because and we mentioned this earlier in the podcast, but it is sort of like it's allowing her to make her own identity. It's like, I choose to be a Skywalker, not I am a Skywalker.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to be something. I think that was the biggest thing that I got out of Last Jedi. It's like she's making her own destiny. Here's something, because I was actually watching your video before it came out here, because I'm a fan. I'm not gonna lie. But I was wondering, what do you think about how this is, just based on this trailer, like, where Last Jedi is going to be sitting now that we are seeing where the direction of the movie, the trilogy is going, the direction the saga is going. Like, how are we going to look back on The Last Jedi?
I think favorably.
Yeah. I guess it's more like a lot of the... Because, as you know, I'm a big fan of The Last Jedi. And I think that a lot of the sort of left turns it took allows for this kind of story to happen, where we're having Palpatine, where we're having the second Death Star come back in. I just kind of feel like it's going to be that story that shifts everything to open it up and go backwards.
I see what you're saying, because that was kind of when I came out of The Last Jedi, my thought was like, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's awesome.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about the Carrie Fisher element on that. We saw her briefly in the trailer embracing Rey. Obviously, it looked like it was Taka Donna. In the scene there, that's what it looked like to me. So there was a scene that they maybe have shot when she comes to Takodana and that kind of thing. So what did you think about what JJ said? I'll start with you, Adam, regarding like integrating Carrie into this and the way they're trying to honor her.
I trust JJ to do something that pays tribute to her. It's really tough. I mean, we've seen films where I can't remember them off the top of my head, but where they've edited around someone who's passed away and try to like make new footage. It's weird seeing her in the old school the costume mm-hmm. from The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. I'm glad she's in it. I've heard rumors as to how they might integrate her scene, or like how they might kill her off, or they might what role she might play of a deleted scene. I don't want to speculate aloud of what that rumor is, because I don't want to spoil anything for anyone else who doesn't like spoilers, like
right,
myself.
Right.
It could work. Okay. I just don't know. I'm a little trepidatious. That's the one thing I'm more trepidatious about than anything else in this movie, is like, how do you use Leia with archival footage?
Right.
So,
what about you? What did you think about what JJ said and then just what you saw in the trailer?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. That's probably the one thing where I'm just like, oh, that could be tough if they're trying to force a story around stuff that like they have to, that's their only option. But I think people will be forgiving of that, and I don't know, I think she'll probably be used just less than they originally planned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably cutting some more things, especially in the editing process, they may have to change some things on that. So you did some interviews after the panel. So any juicy little tidbits? Not that we get much when JJ's doing interviews.
No,
and stuff,
we did get Kathleen to confirm that Palpatine was always going to be the villain of the episode 9.
Oh, wow.
That she said like the plan was original, at least according to her, was that from the creation of The Force Awakens till now, like the idea was to bring in Palpatine into the sequel trilogy.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was the beginning plan from the get-go. It was always like, how do we do that naturally?
So do you think that after we see episode 9, do you think we'll be able to go back to The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi and see things, like see where Palpatine had his hand in things and like see his thread through the whole sequel trilogy?
I think so. And I mean, Alex, you are an encyclopedia for this, so you probably can confirm, but we were mentioning earlier that like the contingency plan stuff in Aftermath, the whole idea of like how Palpatine plays a role, that the seeds are there. At least that's my reading of it.
There's definitely seeds, especially in the books and comics, that I think that they could pull on. I just don't know whether or not JJ knows about those seeds or what the deal is.
Yeah. Well, I guess like there was the Darth Vader comic, right? That sort of implied that Anakin was born of the Force or born by Palpatine,
manipulating it or whatever.
Like, where do you guys fall on that?
Well, I think Matt Martin said that wasn't really the intent, that they were trying to say, like, Palpatine made Anakin. It was more like a metaphorical, he's kind of Anakin's father, but, like, Obi-Wan was also a father figure.
Gotcha.
We see, like, both of them on his shoulder at one point. So, I don't know. I think they could potentially use that in the future, if whether or not the comic meant to do that or not.
Gotcha.
No, I think it'll be interesting to see, like you were saying, though, Sam, is will we look back on 7 and 8 as movies for that? Because the three of us are nerd, all of us, all five of us are Star Wars nerds. You know, we know Aftermath. We know the Charles Soule comic series and stuff like that. And so we could see those things play in. But the concern that I would have is the average, you know, just movie-going fan, Star Wars fan, are they going to look back on Force Awakens and on The Last Jedi and be like, oh my God, that was the Emperor behind that and that kind of thing?
I hope so.
I would be awesome.
Big concern, obviously, like how does Snoke play a role in that?
Yeah, and that's still, we have no clue what that whole thing was about with Snoke at this point. So.
It was a projection.
So, anything else that you learned in the interview this afternoon?
That Rise of Skywalker ties obviously directly into the plot, and it's more of a question than an answer. I'm trying to think of anything else that they really revealed that was besides me just geeking out the entire time. there wasn't, like, that was the big takeaway. That was the biggest one, that Finn, and also John Boyega, like, sat down with JJ, because he's like, I'm a fan, I need to sit down and understand what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, when he found out that Palpatine was a part of the film, he was like, how does this work? Like, how does this work? Mm-hmm. And then he told me, I'm like, yeah, it's pretty great. So it's like, that was the biggest things that we got. I mean, obviously there was Kelly Mutran talking about her, the reaction, and that was amazing.
That was my favorite part of the panel.
It's, we mentioned this before, but it is just the positivity of Star Wars fandom, like, reared its wonderful head in that moment. And it was just give me help for this fandom. We're all on Twitter. Yeah. We know what it's like.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you know, we love the fact that we were able to talk with you for 30 minutes. We learned longer than we thought. So thank you so much. And then we got to bring in Alex from Star Wars Explained. Yeah, so we couldn't have you not talk about it when you're in the room.
I'm kind of fanboying right now.
You're good. That's awesome. Hey, guys, thanks for listening. We've got two more episodes going out tonight. We've got one on the Lucasfilm Publishing panel. I have another one on Vader Immortal, and so we're excited about those. And then Chatter Squad, we've got our joint podcast with them that should be going out by tomorrow morning as well. So thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow, let's see, what do we got going tomorrow? Rebels Remembered. That's the big one for us tomorrow. So tune in. Make sure you're sharing this on Twitter, Facebook, social media, all that kind of stuff. We've got a special offer going on Patreon right now, so if you sign up to be a Patreon supporter before May the 4th, you get a special little extra thing that we're going to send your way, so check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/TatooineSons. Thanks, Adam, as well, and Alex, for doing this. I appreciate it, and I guess that's pretty much it. You guys got anything else you want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
I can do the sound effect today, so just get down here. Hold on.
May the Force be with you, always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.